Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. Hi, Karen.
Hey, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Here's one from Carrie Roundy.
I live in Boca Raton, Florida. It was September 8th, 2017, and the flurry of the neighborhood getting ready for Hurricane Irma was intense. Irma was headed our way, so in 2 days it was coming. Everybody had shuttered and done everything. Peter, my husband, and I are really cavalier for some reason and don't do all the preparations that everybody else does. We're kind of lazy and just, I guess we think, oh, it's never going to be that big a deal. We have impact glass. So I notice all the neighbors are assessing the different houses and they're staring at the elderly couple's coconut palm tree with all the coconuts up there. And you can tell they're all very upset that they hadn't gotten their coconuts cut out of their trees because it's the flying missile thing. And I realize that our coconut palm tree doesn't have the coconuts cut out either. And I walk to my neighbor next door and I said, oh my gosh, I guess I should cut these coconuts out. Do you have the chainsaw on the pole? And he is just like, yeah, I guess. I think I do. And maybe my son Cooper can help. And Cooper's 18 and he's out doing something on the side yard because everybody's out in their yards preparing. And Cooper, the son, is really upset that he has to help our cause with our coconuts and gets the ladder out, gets the electric chainsaw and a pole, and his parents are at the base of the ladder holding it, and I'm standing there, and they all start arguing with each other, and he's screaming, shut up, Dad and Mom, I know what I'm doing, and they're saying, no, you don't, you're not doing it right. So anyway, I've created this family argument. So I start running back and forth to my garage to get trash bags and things to clean up the coconuts when they're cut. And I'm running around like a chicken with my head cut off now. So this just starts this snowball effect that a sprinkler head in my front lawn had been long uprooted and the whole PVC pipe has been exposed and the head is there. And lo and behold, my foot catches and I go flying over that and into the sidewalk on my left hand and wrist, and I hear this horrible crack. And so you have to picture, I have like a one-piece bathing suit with a tank dress on and tennis shoes and no socks and my hair in a ponytail, and I'm screaming and yelling, writhing around in the mulch and dirt, holding my wrist because I know it's broken and I think it's got probably a compounded fracture, which is my nightmare. I'm obsessed with people that have that bone come out of their skin. I think I would just die. So that's what I think has happened. And my husband runs out and like, oh my God, let me take you to the emergency room. I said, no, call the 911. Meanwhile, I could care less about the coconuts. EMS comes within 5 minutes, and they just get me on the gurney, my first ambulance ride at age 50, and I'm whisked away and am in the ambulance, and I just said, oh my God, did the bone come out the skin? And they said, no, but you definitely have a break, and it needs to be set. I said, well, I need the biggest painkillers you have. Do whatever you can. Start it all. They immediately give me an IV, and I do recommend that because you get ahead of the pain. And I get through into ER. The orthopedic guy finally comes around, and I'm hanging from the suspension with fabric. This strap hangs my arm from a hook, and he comes in. First, I asked for the pain meds there. I said, you've got to give me all you can do for pain relief. So they shoot a needle into the wrist bone. And that was really awful. And they set it. And I am set home with a kind of splint and arm sling to all of our family is coming up from Key Biscayne because they had to evacuate. So we've got all these house guests in the house, and I'm just at home with this, and we wait, and the hurricane comes on Sunday, and we lose power for 5 days. And I have to laugh because after the hurricane passed, nothing happened to us. We were all safe. Trees did blow down in our backyard, but walking the neighborhood after the fact, I go in front of the elderly couple, and all of their coconuts are just intact, away high up in the tree. Nothing happened.
Carrie Roundy, with a story about getting hurt during a hurricane.
Anytime, Michael, a story starts off with the flurry of the neighbors getting ready for Hurricane Irma was intense, you know you're in for trouble.
It sounds like there'll be a lot of peer pressure in the story.
Yeah, there were so many elements of the story that were just wonderful. And first off was that very strong opening sentence. You want to get people's attention. You want to be strong and really specific. And she was. We know exactly when she says flurry and intense, we know exactly what she's talking about.
But I always heard that coconuts turn into missiles during a hurricane and you're supposed to cut them down.
Absolutely. But she uses that beautiful word cavalier and the less beautiful word lazy to describe herself and her husband. And I know so many people who said, you know what? It hasn't happened in 10 years. If it happens, it happens. My husband is not like that. We don't take a lazy cavalier approach. But I gotta say, I get it.
I also get the fact that she wanted as much pain medication as she can get when she went to the hospital.
Well, that is also a matter of there's no right answer. Although I do like the fact that she used that expression, I want to get ahead of the pain, or it's, that's the way to get ahead of the pain. Better to take it before than after, I understand.
Well, it's funny because during a hurricane is when the neighbors are supposed to join forces together and help each other out. But here it seems like they were pressuring each other to get prepared.
Well, the neighbors are a really interesting element of this story because we do know that in times of crisis, people act in ways that we can't always expect. And we also know that with all of the news reports about hurricanes, unlike, say, with earthquakes, where you don't have all of that anticipation, people get more and more worried and more anxious as they hear more and more. So I think what was happening was she was on a slightly different schedule than her neighbors, but her neighbors were walking around saying, let's see, how can we keep our neighborhood safe? But it became a kind of competitive thing when they're saying you really should take these down. But then they were happy to volunteer their son to help. And I love the image of the 18-year-old who did not want to help, yelling at his parents and doing it himself the way he wanted to do it. And when you're living through it, it is not funny. But listening to it in hindsight, it could be a movie. I mean, it's just so great. And in the middle of all this bickering, to have her hurt herself so badly, a lot of times in life, we need to be reminded of what's important. And I think this is one of those times when what's important is what's right in front of you. And what was right in front of them was this poor woman who had just broken her wrist. And I'd like to think that they stopped bickering and ran to help her.
It's kind of sad that the hurricane came and went and they survived that. But she was injured. That really had nothing to do with the hurricane.
That's the great irony of the story. They're so worried about preparing and preventing her accident by the storm that in fact, she hurts herself during the preparations. She doesn't hurt herself during the storm itself. And that is a very ironic and amusing part of this story.
I think that happens quite a bit with generators and accidents cleaning up.
And I think that although we have to be prepared, we certainly have to remember that accidents happen mostly around the house, and accidents happen when you're not thinking clearly.
She had a good way of describing things in the story.
Yes, I loved when she was describing being obsessed about bone coming out of skin, even though it didn't happen. Was there anybody of the 4 million people listening to this show who did not get that image?
I felt that pain.
And that's very good, too, because although 97% of us get visual images when we hear a story, you're an audio guy, and you're also obviously a very feeling guy, and you got a different kind of an image. Yes, the image of the pain. I also loved when she said she was writhing around in the mulch and the dirt. I mean, that is an image for this Boca Raton fine upstanding woman to be writhing around, or anybody to be writhing around in the mulch and the dirt and running around like a chicken with her head cut off. It's a cliche, certainly, but it certainly is a strong image.
She did show her sense of humor there as well.
Absolutely, but she didn't play it for laughs. You know, she really told it straight. And that's a really good way of being funny, as we know from straight men like George Burns. You know, you can be very funny playing it straight. And she really told the story as she remembered it, as she saw it. And I was laughing through it. It just really hit close to home.
Well, thanks for bringing that story in, Karen. You have another Vox event coming up?
Yes, next Sunday night, March 25th, 8 p.m. at the Living Room Theater in Boca Raton. It's a free event, a storytelling slam. The first 10 people to sign up are welcome to tell their stories for movie tickets.
And if people want to tell their story on the Public Storyteller, how can they get in touch with you?
Get in touch with me about Vox or storytelling or anything else at cneile, that's C-N-E-I-L-E, at fau.edu.
Archive stories and contact information is available at our website at wlrn.org. Click radio and the Public Storyteller. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Michael. See you next week.
Dr. Karen Neal is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.